Good morning. This is Berta reading the commercial news for Thursday, November 5th, 2020. Thank everybody. State's Attorney, Circuit Clerk, excited to continue serving, by Jennifer Bailey. Vermilion County's State's Attorney, Jacqueline Lacey, has been elected to another term in office. Lacey received 20,236 votes in Tuesday's election, with her opponent Sandra Lawless receiving 10,758 votes. The final unofficial election results include all in-person votes on Election Day, early voting, and vote by mail. I just want to thank everybody, all my supporters, Lacey said Tuesday night. She said she looks forward to continuing to work hard as she has for the last 4 years. I think my record spoke for itself, she said. She said she plans to continue her work in putting the most violent criminals away. Lacey said she's also excited about specific programs. We've just recently put together the Vermilion County Child Advocacy Center, she said, adding that an executive director started yesterday. She said this program will help victims in sex and violent crime cases and focus on children and juveniles in our community. Vermilion County Circuit Clerk Missy Quick also said, I'm super excited about winning in Tuesday's election. Quick, who's been a longtime deputy clerk and was serving the remaining term of Dennis Gardner, who retired, won her first election. Quick received 21,585 votes to Gwendolyn Meek's 9,397 votes. Quick said she looks forward to continue working and making improvements in the office. It's exciting to have the confidence of the voters for the next 4 years, she said. It's a job I love. She, too, said there's a lot of projects she's looking to wrap up. They include working on the e-citation program with local police agencies in which citations come in electronically. It streamlines the process of that ticket, Quick said, adding the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department is the only one completely up and running at this time. The Danville Police Department just went live, and they are working out the kinks, she said. She said they will be working to bring all the smaller agencies on board. Quick said she's also working with the state's attorney and public defender to streamline the case management system. It will all be one system, streamlining the repetitive data entry work between the different offices, she said. Quick said they should be going live with the state's attorney office in the next week or two. Also, there is e-notification system that is in the process of being wrapped up. This will notify persons of upcoming court dates via text messages and reminders. Chief Deputy Vermilion County Clerk and Supervisor of Elections Lindsay Light reported on Wednesday that Election Day went well in the county. It went so well, I couldn't have asked for a better day, according to Light. Our staff did amazing at fielding questions, and our judges were back in record time. We did expect to see a higher turnout, but just over 70% is still very good. Overall, I'm very happy with how yesterday went. Everyone in the county did very well. Voting in Vermilion County was 73.14%, and in Danville was 60.47%. Danville Election Commission Executive Director Sandra Delhay had reported some internet issues on Tuesday, but overall getting voters in and out quickly. On Wednesday, Delhay reported, we had a great election. Our open was office the same hours as the polling locations. In the commission office, we had a record number of new registrations, 75. And 17 changes, names, addresses. This was an addition to early voting. It was all hands on deck. I was at every polling place yesterday to see how things were going. I was pleasantly surprised how well they were going. We had approximately 35 of our regular election judges call out mainly due to their health concerns of the COVID-19 virus. We had a large amount of people willing to step up and become judges, which helped our polling locations a great deal. We had well-trained office staff that worked 6 weeks taking care of the early voters, registration, and changes of address or name. I can't say enough good things about everyone who worked on the November 3rd, 2020 election. It truly takes a village to run a successful election, she said. Vote totals in some other local races. U.S. Congress, 15th Congressional District, Mary Miller, 224,902 votes, 73%, was elected against Erica Weaver, 83,302 votes, 27%. State Senator for the 52nd District, Scott Bennett, 53,699 votes, 63.7%, won re-election against Alexander Ruggieri, 31,438 votes, 36.93%. State Representative for the 104th District, Mike Moran, 26,820 votes, 59%, was re-elected against Cynthia Cunningham, 18,642 votes, 41%. Incumbents won in County Board District 4, 2 seats open. Robert Mitch Weaver, 2,445 votes. Marla McCanowitz, 2,214 votes. Carl Lee Johnson, 1,022 votes. And Jermaine Light, 834 votes. County Board District 7, 1 seat open. Jerry Hawker, 1,406 votes. Unseated Greg Thatcher, 1,327 votes. Referendum in Georgetown failed. Question was, shall the city of Georgetown become a home rule unit of local government? 744 no votes and 468 yes votes. Council approves sewer fee increase by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. By a 10-4 vote, the Danville City Council Tuesday night approved sanitary and stormwater sewer fee charges to start in October of 2021. In November 2021 bills instead of April 2021. Some aldermen said they were more comfortable in waiting a year for any sewer fee increases for residents and businesses due to the COVID pandemic and COVID mitigations. Those voting against the increase were Ward Alderman 2, Rick Stringbing, and Dan DeChian, Ward 4, Alderman Sharon McMahon, and Ward 6, Alderman Aaron Trogelia. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. asked the council when they will have courageous aldermen to do this, when it's not been prioritized in the past. With the vote by the aldermen, people and businesses will have hope now that sewer problems will be addressed. Ward Alderman woman Sherry Pickering, who personally has had sewer problems at her home, said she knows the public understands the need, and this will allow the city to have some recovery from COVID and move forward. The council met via teleconference and heard several public comments against the increase. Schlarman Academy principal Mark Jensky said the 200% increase is drastic, and if all utilities raise their fees that much, we'd all be out of business. It's going to kill business. He begged aldermen to think about it prior to their vote. Mayor Williams said, I hate to ask for more, but unfortunately, we are left with no recourse. He said the city sees flooded neighborhoods, sewer backups in homes and businesses when it rains, and other issues, such as business capacity issues and businesses that can't add bathrooms. I understand that this is a terrible burden for people. This would put us on a sustainable path to repair our storm and sanitary sewer, Williams added. Other comments included from residents who said big increase now is bad for the economy. People are struggling more than normal this year with the coronavirus pandemic, and why can't there be a smaller increase over several years? And people's wages are not going up, but bills are. Also, Danville's metal stamping Gardner Peck said, the increase fee is unreasonable and will hamper the business's ability to compete and grow. Danville Metal Stamping and other larger businesses, such as REG Bunge, Quaker Oats, and also the Public Safety Building, will be paying a lot more, such as some seeing a $300,000 increase or more a year. This includes the prison, which will have to pay about $444,000 more. Residents will see the city fee on their sewer bills increase to $29.75 a month. This is an increase from an average of about $16 a month. Businesses and multi-use fees aren't going up as much as was originally proposed. For commercial, institutional, governmental, industrial fees, $42.50 rather than $59.50. The multi-unit rate, $17 instead of a once proposed $17.85 per unit per month. The annual increase for the fee also is now $1 per month each year for single-family residential instead of 5%. All increases for other users will be prorated respectively as laid out in the ordinance. All user charges shall be subject to automatic annual increases for a 4-year period. The single-family residential minimum monthly base user charge shall be subject to an automatic $1 per month annual increase beginning April 1, 2022. The council also heard presentation of police and fire tax levy valuations and recommendations by Lauterbach and Ammon, LLP, approved health insurance agreements and another year of spousal incentives, approved a memorandum of understanding with the Housing Authority for the City of Danville, and continued discussion on the city's proposed 2020 tax levy and 2021-2022 budget. Fire Department to conduct training burns by Jennifer Bailey. The Danville Fire Department announces 3 training burns in the next week. The first will be at 207 Kimball Street, Thursday, November 5th, weather permitting. All 3 training burns are scheduled from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. The second will be at 845 Madison Street on Friday, November 6th. This training will conclude with a fully engulfed scenario. The third training burn will be at 916 Hazel Street on Tuesday, November 10th. This training will also conclude with a fully engulfed scenario. During these times, there will be multiple fire department vehicles and personnel on hand to conduct the training and make sure that everything goes smoothly. The training will include lighting multiple small fires for different training scenarios, according to the fire department. During each of these burns, Kimball Street will be closed at Madison Street to all traffic on November 5th. Madison Street will be closed between Bowman Avenue and Kimball Street to all traffic on November 6th. And Hazel Street will be closed to all traffic between Fairchild and Penn Street on November 10th. Please choose an alternate route to avoid delays. There will be a high volume of fire department traffic during those training operations. Motorists and pedestrians are urged to use caution while traveling in the work zone and to be attentive to the changes in traffic control. All of these events are tentatively scheduled, weather permitting. And now the obituaries for November 5th. Mary Sue Spisak. Mary Sue Spisak, 74, of Danville, passed away at 3:07 p.m. at Arcadia Care in Danville on November 2, 2020. There will be a private family celebration of life for Mary Sue on Friday, November 6, 2020, at 10 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois. Burial will be in Greenwood Cemetery. Private family visitation will be 1 hour prior to service. Donald L. Huff. Donald L. Huff, 74, of Danville, passed away at 12:05 p.m. on November 3, 2020, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville, Illinois. A private family celebration of life for Donald will be held on Friday, November 6, 2020, at 3:30 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Entombment will be at Sunset Memorial Park. A family visitation will be held on Friday, November 6, 2020, from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the funeral home. Cindy Lynn Musson. Cindy Lynn Musson, age 61, formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away Thursday, October 22, 2020, in Antonio, Texas. Cindy's visitation will be Saturday, November 7, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home in Danville. This will be held from 1 to 2 p.m. Cindy's memorial service will also be Saturday, November 7, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home in Danville. It will immediately follow the visitation and will be held from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Oliver Lewis Louis Rainwater. Oliver Lewis Louis Rainwater, age 77, of West Lebanon, Indiana, passed away at 8:50 a.m. on Wednesday, November 4, 2020, at his residence, surrounded by his loving family. Visitation will be at Grady Funeral Home in West Lebanon on Sunday, November 8, 2020, from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. Funeral services will be there on Monday, November 9, 2020, from 1 p.m. at 1 p.m. Patricia Vaquetta, Danville. Patricia Ann Vaquetta, 93, of Danville, formerly of Hoopston, Illinois, passed away at 10:05 a.m. at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana on November 3, 2020. A private family celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, November 10, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be held Monday, November 9, 2020, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Bette Warren. Bette Warren, 95, of Danville, passed away at 4:24 a.m. on November 2, 2020, at North Logan Healthcare of Danville. There will be a private family celebration of life for Bette, Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Leonard Allen Hathaway, Terre Haute. Leonard Lynn Hathaway, 75, of Terre Haute, Indiana, passed away on October 24, 2020, at Union Hospital in Terre Haute. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. in Roselawn Memorial Park on Friday, November 6th. Graner Funeral Home in Terre Haute was entrusted with care and arrangements. Glenn R. Turner. Glenn R. Turner, 78, of Covington, passed away at 4:15 p.m. on Monday, November 2, 2020, at Colonial Manor in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon, Monday, November 9, 2020, at Kruger Cohn Pate Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville. A private family service will follow, with burial in Atherton Cemetery in Danville. Mountain Home, Arkansas, Darrow Esther Louise Schaller passed away October 8, 2020, in Mountain Home, Arkansas, at the age of 97. Funeral arrangements are pending at Kirby and Family Funeral and Cremation Services, Mountain Home, Arkansas. Hoopston Changes Bulk Garbage Hours by Carol Hicks, Hoopston. The Hoopston City Council discussed and changed bulk garbage pickup hours to 7:30 to 10:30 a.m. beginning Saturday, November 21st. The reason behind the change from 7:30 to 11:30 a.m. pickup was due to the downtime near the end of the pickup time, according to Alderman Bill Goodwin. More discussion followed about residents needing help unloading items out of vehicles and into the roll after arriving at the drop-off site. What happens is you have help at home, but you don't bring them with you, Goodwin said. The possibility of having public service workers help with unloading vehicles was discussed. However, the problem, according to Goodwin, was that the public service workers were not always reliable. Mayor Bill Quisenberry added that most people aren't, but the city had one that worked at Parks was so reliable, he got hired as a seasonal worker. In other council business, Alderman Lorraine Florek said sesquicentennial logo contest was listed in area papers. The winning logo will be receiving $100 and has a deadline of December 1st. All mediums and creations from Hoopston and former residents can be used: paint, photography, digital, or mixed media. Designs can be submitted digitally in either a PDF or JPG to Florek at publish@justthefacts.net, or by hard copy, or sent to the Hoopston City Hall at 301 West Main Street, Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. Alley cleanup should be finished this week, according to Alderman Jeff Weiss, and leaf cleanup will begin Monday, weather permitting. Quisenberry recommended people not put leaves in the road by the curb, but leave them on the curb. If we get a rain, they'll go right to the drain, he said. Leaves clog up the drain. Weiss said the Hoopston Police Department was unaware of some of the newer ordinances that the department is temporarily checking, adding that ordinances shall be sent to the HPD to be disseminated to officers. Quisenberry commented that the contract with the Vermilion County Housing Authority had to be updated and requested that Andrew Mudd send an up-to-date agreement to him. The original agreement signed in the 1950s was in the agreement he recently received from Mudd with things that had already happened. Quisenberry added that certified letters to Brian Suter's family members have been returned unsigned. He is sending a third letter, but also checked if the estate has been filed. It had not in the four counties he checked. Alderman Bill McElhaney suggested checking with Dale Estes, owner of the Milford Truck Parts, who seemed to be acting as a broker in dealing with Suter's collection of cars. The Buzzbar case was heard at the November court session, if it's not canceled due to COVID. The Countryside Mall owner will be issued a notice to appear in court, Quisenberry said. The Pizza Hut building has been sold, and speculation is it might be used for a gaming parlor. Quisenberry said no one has applied for a liquor license for the business at this time, adding a license would not be given to someone out of town to open a gaming parlor. Quisenberry reminded council and area residents that the positions of mayor, clerk, treasurer, and various council seats are all up for election in April of 2021. Packets for those interested are available at City Hall. He added the two resignations he had received from Alex Humes and Chad Yeaman, according to the state of Illinois, must be signed and notarized before being submitted. Humes and Yeadon will be contacted in order for their resignations to be legal, according to the state of Illinois. The next Hoopston City Council meeting will be held on November 17th at 7 p.m. at City Hall, unless in quarantine. Bars, restaurants could face consequences, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Some local bars and restaurants could be risking their liquor and gaming license in staying open with the Illinois Region 6 COVID-19 mitigation measures that started this week. According to Vermilion County Health Department's Public Health Administrator Doug Toole, we received a few calls about restaurants continuing to provide indoor dining. People can continue to support local eateries through drive-through, carry-out, and delivery orders. We are still exploring our options for local enforcement, but establishments that go against the executive orders may face strong consequences if they hold state liquor license and gaming licenses. Also, according to the Illinois State Police statement, in desiring to protect the public and prevent the spread of COVID-19, the Illinois Department of Public Health requested assistance from the Illinois State Police in our role of helping enforce IDPH emergency rules. As outlined in the administrative rules, enforcement in an incremental processing started with a notice of noncompliance. If businesses continue to not comply, state or local law enforcement can issue the business a misdemeanor citation, similar to enforcing indoor smoking laws. Local state's attorneys determine how to proceed as they would in any other misdemeanor case. This is the law from Illinois General Assembly's website. Whoever violates or refuses to obey any law or regulation of the Department of Public Health shall be deemed guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. The Director of Public Health shall institute prosecutions and proceedings for violations of the rules and regulations adopted by the IDPH, provided that he may designate a local board of health or local health officer to institute prosecutions or proceedings or violations of these rules, the regulations adopted by the department. Each state's attorney shall prosecute all persons in his county violating or refusing to obey the rules and regulations. All fines or judgments collected or received shall be paid to the county treasurer of the county in which the prosecution was conducted. On social media, Danville City Council Ward 6 Alderman Aaron Trogelia stated he'd pay up to $20,000 in fines for any Danville bar and restaurant that gets fined for staying open. East Central Illinois' Region 6, which includes Vermilion and surrounding counties, reached an 8% COVID-19 positivity rate for 3 days to trigger the mitigations that started on Monday. The mitigations include capacity limit of lesser of 25 people or 25% capacity at gatherings both indoor and outdoor, in addition to the closure of bars and restaurants to indoor service. Free virus testing is available at DACC. Danville Area Community College is hosting free mobile COVID testing 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday through Sunday, November 5th through 8th. DACC is located at 2000 East Main in Danville. This is Birdie signing off, reading the commercial news for Thursday, November 5th, 2020. Have a great day.